Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast. So, Kangs, depending on your vernacular, we're just going to jump off into it, man. Matt Nagy is still saying Andy Dalton is the QB1 for the Chicago Bears, week one. And Bears fans are pissed, bro. It's heated. You can't go nowhere. You could be like, man, I think Andy Dalton could start a quarter. Bro, you will get attacked in these streets right now on every platform. Twitter, Facebook, Bleacher Report, Snapchat, OnlyFans. They hit your neck.
Everywhere.
If anybody comes out and say, I think, man, I know you should slow play, you're going to get beat up, man. So that's where we're at, man. Nagy is still saying that Andy Dalton is the quarterback, that he wants to see what he does. But in the regular season, you know, and I know everybody got a hot take, got a feeling about it. And I've been trying to dig deep on this thing, man, and try to just see what different people are saying. And it's kind of all over the place, bro. You know, I think Justin Fields should start week one. I've said that. I still think Matt Nagy is probably going to pull up. We did some evaluation and came to the conclusion that Justin Fields gives us the best chance to win. But that's yet to be determined. You know what I mean? So I know you brothers got some hot takes on that.
Oh, you know what I mean? It's okay. As we saw today, we saw that Bill Belichick, although he had Cam Newton on the roster, he's looking for the long-term solution, right? What's better off for the team long-term? Is it starting Mac Jones next year better for the franchise long-term? Or is it pretty much going with the young fella now and go long-term? And we seen his decision and what he made, right? So if I'm Matt Nagy, what are you getting out of starting Andy Dalton? Not shit.
Ass whooping?
Possibly. You know, in all other honesty, that's really what you got coming to you. And I put a tweet up last week where I stated that if Andy Dalton starts, I guarantee it's going to be a very short leash and a quick hook if that offense stalls in that first half. If that offense and they can't get no spark, and Drew Brees said it himself. He said, guys, I think they're doing the right thing by starting Andy Dalton, but if Andy Dalton is sputtering, then you're going to need a spark. And then that's when you go to Justin Fields. So it's okay that Andy Dalton is starting, you know, because, again, at the end of the day, Justin Fields is going to play the first game of the season. I don't believe Nagy is that damn stupid to allow that defense to be out there drive after drive after drive. After a while, those drives, those three and outs start turning into 6-play drives and 9-play drives and 12-play drives. That tires a defense out. Then cats start running wide open. Then long runs start being broken. So they ain't going to sustain that a whole game. Okay, that defense itself, the defensive leaders like Khalil Mack and Eddie Goldman, those guys ain't going to sit there and let this happen for a full game. They're going to be like, look, coach, you got to make a switch on the offense. They already want him to play now, so I see a quick hook.
Man, I've gone back and forth about it, and I've been on Twitter about it and things like that, and I'm just going to be honest, man. Bill Belichick made the move, right, as you alluded to, Roy. He made the move and went with Mac Jones over Cam Newton. Is it the right move? We don't know. It remains to be seen, right? Same thing with Matt Nagy making his decision. But what I will say is that I don't understand how people can – I don't understand his mindset. I'm just be honest. I don't understand where Matt Nagy's coming from because, you know, what are you protecting him from? Are you protecting him from that first game, the vaunted St. Louis – I mean, Los Angeles Rams defense or whatever? It's not that potent to me. I don't see it being that tough. I know they have decent players, but at the end of the day, it's just a defense just like any other defense in the league. Until they go out there and do it over the course of the season, you know, it is what it is. Everybody's starting at 0-0 right now. And I believe that you can't play fearful football. You can't play scared. You can't run and hide from nobody. You can't run and hide from players or defenses or injuries. Those things are going to happen regardless of when you play or not. You know what I'm saying? Do you expose somebody to unnecessary things? Of course not. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying be reckless. I'm not saying that at all. You instill a game plan that will protect Justin Fields if you start him, right? If you're worried about the offensive line, which we'll get into later. But if you're worried about the offensive line, you instill a game plan that will protect him going forward. That's part of your job as an offensive coordinator, as a guru, as a guy who wants to do this, right? So what are we holding him back from? And you know what I mean? Because it's clear and evident to everybody, you know, who watches football, who pays attention to it, this dude is better than Andy Dalton.
Beyond.
It's not even close.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not even close. You know what I mean? So, you know, at the end of the day, you got to put the best guys on the field to win. And that's a job of the coach. The coach's job is put 11 guys out there that is going to succeed and put them in a position to succeed. And if you put a guy out there that's Andy Dalton, no shade to Andy Dalton. It is what it is with him. But at the end of the day, you put him out there. What's that saying to the rest of the team? Allen Robinson's in the contract year. Does he want to catch balls from the guy who's better equipped to get him the ball? Downfield, back shoulder throws, all these things that Justin Fields has been doing that he does better than Andy Dalton. He's got a live arm. It's way more electric than Andy Dalton's arm, right?
Everything is more electric.
Yeah, that ball placement against Tennessee was insane on that touchdown. Exactly. That pass was crazy.
That pass was crazy. So, you know, you look at it like that. I just don't understand where Matt Nagy's thought process is going with this. And like I said, and I've said it time and time again, I think Matt Nagy is trying to buy time to get his stuff in order because his backyard is not cleaned up. He doesn't have his play calling down the way he should. He doesn't have his game plan the way he should. He's lost right now in that aspect. And he knows if he puts Justin Fields out here, I've already failed with Mitch Trubisky. I've already failed with Nick Foles. I've already failed with, you know what I mean, just different quarterbacks. And I've scapegoated those quarterbacks. I've scapegoated coaches. I've blamed the defense or other people, you know what I mean, players, whatever the case may be, wide receivers, everybody. Everybody has been blamed. And now you have nothing else to fall on. So if it fails, before you sign that, raise your dynamic quarterback back there, it's all on his shoulders. And he knows that. So you can't tell me that's not in the back of his mind. And he's slow rolling this process and letting Justin Fields sit on the bench for that reason.
Yeah, like with Matt Nagy, I don't know if he's right. And like I said, I've held my position. I think he should start. And I think there's a possibility he will start because there's that gap in between that game one. But it's an article on The Ringer that says that what's more important in the NFL quarterback, development, nature, or nurture? And there's a lot of like coaches and quarterbacks in there talking about it. Matt Hasselbeck, Doug Peterson, Drew Brees, all these guys are in there, right? And so I'm reading it. And basically the vibe that I'm getting is that a guy like Matt Nagy is from that school of Andy Reid. You got to remember Andy Reid. He didn't start Donovan McNabb right away. This is his mentor. He didn't start Pat Mahomes right away. And this is not to say that I think Justin Fields is going to sit on the bench 1 year because that's not going to happen. He's too good. He's just way too good. they talk about the watching a veteran prepare for the game, dealing with his lumps in the game. I ain't saying it's right. I ain't saying it's wrong. But that appears what Matt Nagy is starting Andy Dalton for. So Justin Fields can watch Andy Dalton prepare for a weak game. I'm like Devorey. I still think there's a possibility he starts. And if he doesn't start, his leash is going to be as short as Matt Nagy's hair. Right?
Short as the ass hairs.
On the top of his head of that fucking visor. You know, as soon as that drive starts to stall, he may let him play out that game. He may let him play out that game just because he's already in there. Don't throw the kid in the game where he's already behind and they're taking it to the team. Just let Andy Dalton eat that. He's a veteran. He can take it. He maybe starts into the Bengals. And if it starts to look ugly, he's gone. And then I posted this 3 weeks from now into the season. None of this is going to matter. It makes for good TV. It makes for good radio. But at the end of the day, Justin Fields is going to start 14, 15 games for the Chicago Bears. They're going to probably win the majority of those games and make the playoffs. And this conversation we're having now is going to be irrelevant. You know, because I know even if he starts, Andy Dalton is not going to play a lot of games, bro. Like, I've seen enough of Andy Dalton to know what exactly is going to happen. He's going to be mediocre. He's going to be mediocre. And that ain't going to cut it because I don't think the offense is going to look bad if you insert Justin Fields in a Matt Nagy's offense. I posted a thing on Twitter, that poll, and I said, if you took Justin Fields in the same 2020 Bears offense last year, same play call and same line, would they be better? Most people said yes, like 85% people said yes. And that's true. Even if Matt Nagy randomly calls a jet sweep, it's going to be better because Justin Fields is just better. Mm-hmm. You know, even if Matt Nagy pulls some like fucking retarded shit, it's going to be better. You know what I mean? Like, so I think he's going to save his job, but he got his mindset on what he was going to do. And props to him because he hadn't flip-flopped on it. I mean, he's opened the door a little bit in interviews, but for the most part, he's like, nah, this is what I'm going to do. You know? And I don't think like anything we are going to say is going to sway him one way or another. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see Justin Fields. I'm going to that damn game. I want to see Andy Dalton. But I've kind of accepted the fact, like, hey, this I might have to see Andy Dalton. And I might have to drink a lot of beer. And make fun of my own team in L.A. You know, I might have to find joy in other ways, you know.
You know, I'm coming to that realization too that we might have to see Andy Dalton. It just doesn't make it no more acceptable to me. I just, you know, I'm just, and I know people think I'm hard on Matt Nagy and I'm always on this case, but bro, like, you know, to me, you just got to, at some point, I just don't like scared football.
Exactly.
I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I don't like scared football. If he gets hurt, he gets hurt, bro. Like, he knows what it is. And that may sound bad. You know what I'm saying? If he gets hurt, he gets hurt.
But what if he dies?
Like right. Hey, or Rocky.
Imagine Bears Twitter, man, if Justin Fields get hurt week one, dude.
Huh?
Just imagine Bears Twitter.
Oh, Justin man, Fields. Yeah, oh, everybody will come.
He's probably like, hell no. Andy, don't get your ass up.
Man, I legit think he'll get assaulted, literally.
But I mean, you know, nah. I just believe that you can't run from certain things on the football field. Right. You know what I mean? I just feel like things are going to happen the way they should happen on the football field, and that's the way it's going to go. You can't play scared. If you play scared, most of the time that's when guys get injured, they're trying not to get injured.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you got that situation. You know, I can't think of anything that Andy Dalton does better. You know what I mean? And you say, and you mentioned the Ringer article, Will, and you say about preparation. So he's got to go through. So basically what you're saying is that, you know, Matt Nagy wants Justin Fields to sit back and watch somebody prepare for the week.
That's what these veteran QBs are saying. Like, the thing I saw, all the QBs, the players, like the defensive players, like Ryan Clark and Swaggoo, they like put the kid in. Willie McGinnis, they all like put the kid in. All the quarterbacks, they're all different. David Carr, Matt Hasselbeck, Drew Brees, Jay Cutler. They all like, no, man, it's cool. Let them sit back for a little bit and watch. And that's the difference that I noticed. All the
quarterbacks. Okay, so there. so let me ask this question. In that article, because I didn't read the article, I'm asking.
Yeah.
In that article, did they interview guys who didn't sit back, who didn't sit down? Because Breeze didn't start right away. Neither did Jay Cutler. Neither did, you know. So the guys you named didn't start right away, right? So are they just basing it off of, oh yeah, well, you know, I didn't start right away, so he shouldn't either, or are they legitimately saying that?
No, it's there's a few situations. I know Matt Hasselbeck talked about when he went to Indianapolis. He just said certain teams have it better for players. I think Andrew Luck started right away, didn't he?
Yeah.
So, and that, you know,
got his ass like, whooped by us his first game. I think we beat them like 40 something to 20 something. I think.
I mean, because for all of them quarterbacks in the ringer, I could name the same amount of quarterbacks who went out and started and played well too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it
started like either on bad teams or good teams. Started on the good, so I don't believe that either.
It's a hit and miss. You see arguments in kind of both ways. But the one thing I did get from it is that you're not wrong by slow playing it. Like, regardless. Like, you can be wrong, and you got to think about Nagy from a job security standpoint. He can be wrong for starting him too early, but he can't be wrong for slow playing in a couple weeks. So that is part of it. You know what I mean? Like, it may not be right. I'm not making an argument for it either way. I'm just saying that you got to, like, think about it. Like, if he starts him and he needs to go back to Andy Dalton or, like the Tua situation. Mm-hmm. Well, I think Justin Fields is good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that's going to happen. But like you said, you got to be thinking in the back of his head, what if he comes out in the Rams and the Rams game plan his ass and he struggles and throws two picks?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, now you like, okay, I know, I understand. I get it. But you got to understand, this is human nature, bro, at the same time. This, you know, that man probably thinking about that. 100%.
I guess I get the premise of the discussion, but what I still don't understand is who gives you the best chance to win the game, Andy Dalton or Justin Fields?
Oh, we already know that answer.
So if the answer is Justin Fields, he has, I don't care nothing about slow mo little.
Right.
Like he still gives us the best opportunity to win the game. You know what I'm saying? If Justin Fields started every game this year, what would you say the Bears' record would be as opposed to if Andy Dalton started?
Oh, I already said it, bro. I think they're double-digit wins. You know what I mean? Like, my thing is
10-11. I say 10-11 wins.
Let him take his lumps. Me, I'm like, let him take his lumps because he's going to have rookie lumps and try to prolong the rookie lumps.
Mm-hmm.
And like, the thing about it is, the Bears, we can get into this too, don't have a bad team. That's the benefit of being pick number 11.
Yeah.
When the team that picked you at 11 moved up from 20 because they made the fucking playoffs, right? This team doesn't have a losing record under Matt Nagy. You know, regardless of how people feel about Matt Nagy, this isn't a bad football team. They have a ferocious defense. The offensive line was mediocre last year. It wasn't bad, no matter how many times people hop on TV. Their line is the most horrible line I've ever seen. Bro, the New England Patriots had a worse line.
Absolutely.
You know, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the New York Jets, all these other teams, the 49ers had a worse offensive line than the Chicago Bears in 2020. They gave up more sacks.
It's like these talking pundits like to go with a punchline and just run with it without doing a proper research and due diligence.
Exactly.
Which is inaccurate and irresponsible journalism on their behalf.
But then the fans get a hold of that, and that's all you hear from the fan base. We can't put them behind that offensive line. We can't put them behind. Bro, everybody said the offensive line got better when you got Mustafa in there and you got Cody Whitehair back. We got James Daniels back. You got, you know, we'll get into that too. I don't want to jump into a different topic. But, you know, you got those pundits that say that stuff and then the fan base takes it and runs with it. And that's all you hear. We can't get them killed. We can't get them killed.
They don't have weapons.
The line isn't as bad as what people think. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That line is pretty solid.
And that's, I posted too. I said Mac Jones last preseason game got sacked as many times in one preseason game that Justin Fields got sacked all preseason.
Right.
I saw Trey Lance getting sacked. Right. I saw Jordan Love running, you know, behind in duress.
Right.
But they showed clips of the Bears offensive line, you know, the one play that, you know, they leaked. you know, and that's what it is. And they don't have the weapon. I'm like, they have the infrastructure around him. You know, they have Allen Robinson, they have Darnell Mooney, they have Marquise Gilbert, they have Cole Kmet and Jimmy Graham, big tight ends. Big tight ends are rookie quarterbacks' best friends. You have a 1,000-yard back in David Montgomery. Right. You got depth behind him and Damian Williams and Khalil Herbert. You can do that. You can run the same offense as you were running with Mitch Trubisky at the end of the year, the bootlegs, the, you know, zone read. You can do that type of stuff. You can take the pressure off of offensive line, right, until they gel, by running bootlegs, by running sprint outs, by moving the pocket, by changing the line's point, quick game, RPO, running the ball. And then when they gel, I think that the Bears would be better off if they started him now, because you can get through those growing pains. This kid learns. His IQ is off the charts, right? So he learns and he makes a mistake, he adapts. He's not going to be able to learn from those mistakes sitting his ass on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. You know, I was listening to another podcast, the Bear Down Report. Shout out to those guys, man. They do a pretty good job over there.
Shout out.
And they had they talked about this same topic.
Yeah.
And somebody made mention, you know, why put him out there? Let Andy Dalton take the beating, blah, blah, blah. You know, this, that, and the third. And I thought to myself, okay, that sounds cool. And there's no shot to nobody at the Bear Down Report. So don't try to, you know, people that's listening, don't try to throw it into a shot taking thing. This is just my difference of opinion. And we differ on opinion on a lot of different stuff.
But we do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All the time.
So, you know, and they were saying, you know, that's what they say. Let him take it, you know, be the crash test dummy. I know, Will, you said that several times. Let Andy Dalton be the crash test dummy. Okay, that's cool. But when you go get something new, say you get a new laptop, do you plug it up and use it? Or do you pull out the old one and just continue using that one, saying, I don't want to mess that new one up. I don't want to scratch it. I don't want to do nothing to it. If you go get a new car, what you doing? You know what I'm saying? You went and test drove a Tesla. If you picked up that Tesla and said, I'm taking it home, right? You driving that for the time being, or yeah. You going to stick with your old vehicle? Most people are going to go to the new thing. So all I'm saying is, why are we riding and why are we so worried about Andy Dalton when he's got nothing, no ties to Chicago. No ties to the organization, no ties to the, you know, fans, none of that. He just got here just like, you know, Justin Fields. And my problem is that you did not make it a quarterback competition at all. You slow rolled him, and it was clear and evident in the last game. They threw the ball, except for that last drive, they threw the ball 6 times in the first half until he opened it up and threw that touchdown at the end. And then when Nick Foles came in, they came out and it was all different play calling. You could see a totally different game plan. I got a problem with that because you're not giving that dude useful reps if you're using him like that. If you slow roll him like that, what did you prepare him for? You didn't prepare him for nothing. You see what I'm saying? Like, what reps is he getting if you're not utilizing any of his talents, if you're not letting him throw the ball? If you just got him back there and you're like, okay, we're just going to let him play for a half, but, you know, not really do nothing. We're going to slow roll this whole process. To me, that's sabotage, man. I can't go along with that. I can't agree with that.
And it seemed like that's the whole tip that he all know, you know, Matt Nagy. Again, you said it before, Dan, the fact that he threw Justin out there with the threes. It went, at one point, it was the twos and the threes, and then it wasn't even the twos. He was throwing them out there with the threes and the fours.
Playing in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, exactly, and trying to sabotage him. And really, I wouldn't say sabotage, but trying to squash the qualms of Andy Dalton, you know, having his spot in jeopardy. Well, the fact that Justin Fields is so good that he elevated the play of the threes and the fours. Hell, he the reason why Rodney Adams is on the damn squad. You know, and sent cats like Javon Wims and, you know, and those cats packing. You know, he's the reason why. It's because of that connection that he had with Justin Fields, because, you know, that's who Nagy had him running with. So, you know, if he has that ability to raise the play of cats that are on the third team, cats who will possibly be on the scout team, if he has that ability to raise their play and to make that makeshift Bishop Sycamore offensive line there. You know, if he has that ability to make these cats look halfway decent, imagine what he can do with the starting unit. And then once he get into a rhythm, you know, because again, I look at NFL games, you know, especially our Bears games. I look at them as like a heavyweight bout, right? Everybody has a plan until they get hit. And then it's not about getting hit. It's about how you respond to the hit. Mm-hmm. Right? So, you know, teams are going to come out, you know what I'm saying? And then they fill each other out for the first one or two drives. And then they come with the haymaker. Boom. Mm-hmm. And then it's all up. Then it's all up to you about how you respond. Now, as an offense, you respond by you either initially come back with the score, all it be touchdown, or even if you just drive the length of the field and come away with 3 points, that's still letting them know, look, this is going to be a long day. And the first one to give is the first one to give is going to lose the game, right?
Right.
So with that being said, we say this time in and time out. A game is won off of three plays. A game is won in the NFL off of three plays that can make or break the game. Wide open. Wide open. So if you know that the game can be made or break off three plays, why are you not playing your best player? Which is wild to me. Why are you not playing your best player? Because Justin Fields is that kind of player that can change the whole dynamic of a game. And he can keep a defense off balance to where they're not pinning their ears back because they know you having a mobile statue back there. If you were going to do this with, and this is what I'm not understanding, and I want people to understand me when I say this. If you were going to do this with Andy Dalton, why sign him when you had Nick Foles right there? Why not?
All right.
Because, I mean, you say, and for those that are listening to this, I dare you to say that Andy Dalton is better than Nick Foles. I dare you to say it. I dare you to say it because you know why? You pull up all those meaningless ass stats that Andy Dalton has. He has no playoff wins. Not sure. One. You know what his touchdown to interception ratio is in the playoffs? 3-1.
1-7.
His three interceptions to one touchdown.
No. He's got more interceptions. I think he got six
interceptions. Yeah, six. I think he has one touchdown pass in the playoffs.
One touchdown, six interceptions.
No, that's why I said it's 3-1.
Yeah. Okay.
The ratio was 3-1. Three interceptions to one touchdown on the ratio, right?
0-5.
Hasn't made it out of the wild card round. Meanwhile, you have a quarterback on the roster who's a Super Bowl MVP. Yeah, see how crazy that is? So now you look at it from a standpoint of, why, if you were going to do this, then why didn't you just go with Nick Foles?
I questioned that as soon as they made the signing. As soon as they made it, I tweeted, why sign Andy Dalton when you have Nick Foles on the roster?
Makes no sense.
I said it. Why do it? I didn't understand that. And then I was like, okay, whatever. You know, they signed him. He brings, because he's not that, he's maybe a little bit more mobile than Nick Foles. He's not a complete statue. Mm-hmm. That's the only difference that I see. Nick Foles has more postseason success and Andy Dalton has, you know, more regular season success. I agree with you. I agree with both you guys. And I talked, like you said, it's a play here and there. And Justin Fields can do that. Justin Fields can run an RPO. They read it wrong. And he breaks off of 50 yards. And that's the play that wins you the game. Because these two teams are good defenses. Absolutely. Right? They have good defenses. So the Bears are going to – it's probably going to be a close slug-out game how it usually is versus the Rams, and you just need that one or two plays to win the game. That's all you need. And so we'll come up short because just like Andy Dalton and Mitch Trubisky around us, they're mediocre. You know, maybe Justin Fields can make that one throw, that one run, that one scramble that wins you the game, that changes the defense just enough. But, you know, I still have a little hope that Matt Nagy is playing a bunch of smoke screen and he's just trying to, you know, take the heat off Justin Fields and put the heat on himself. which would be, if he does that, then we can, we're having a whole different conversation here.
It could be a stroke of genius. It could be a stroke of genius. You come out just in it, and then as soon as you go out, it's, you thinking that you're seeing Andy Dalton and Justin Fields runs on the field. Yeah. Like, damn, whoa, hold up.
A game before, hey, yo, we're starting Justin Fields. You know, I came to that conclusion. He comes out here, smoke and mirrors, lights and cameras action, and everybody's like, oh man, this guy, you know, we slandered him for a month. But if he does that, then he's a genius. If he doesn't, he's probably going to get his ass kicked in LA, you know. And
at least for the first half.
Let me ask this question, right? And we talked about it briefly last week. How do you tell the veterans in the locker room? How do you tell the guys in the locker room? Like I mentioned, Allen Robinson, who's in a contract year. You know, yeah, we're not going to play the better guy. We're going to play the worst guy because we'd rather lose a couple games, basically, and win later because we can save him, right? What do you tell guys like that? What do you tell guys that have been there and are putting in blood, sweat, and tears, work every single day, and then you go to them and say, hey, defense, I want y'all to keep people under 20. Can you keep them to 18 points like you were doing in 2018, 2019, and for a lot of 2020 before you guys gave up, before we lost the locker room, right? How do you tell people that? How do you tell somebody that? And say, hey, we're going to put this guy out here. We may not score 20 points, but we need y'all to keep him under 20. And we got a guy that's cold and dynamic on the bench, and he could probably go out there and score 25, 30 points for us. But you know what? You know, we're going to save him for right now.
You got the plan.
Yeah, we got a plan.
I think... So far,
go ahead.
Yeah. So far, I haven't seen anybody really say anything bad about Andy Dalton. So for right now, I think it's okay. Like I heard Marquise Goodwin, when they all said this, he's a veteran. He's calm in the huddle. He spits out the play. We get confidence in him. I think right now they're okay. But I think their leash is short too. Mm-hmm. His ass got to produce.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think they're cool with him because he's been around the block. He's a vet. They understand. I think the Bears players have an understanding, like, we got this guy right here. You know, you're a veteran. You've done some things in the NFL. Now, I ain't saying you're great, but we know what's coming. I think they're patient for an extent.
I feel you. But how much of that is guys saying the right thing? Because, hey, the rosters ain't set. I need to make the roster. You know what I'm saying? Before I start really voicing my true opinion about the situation.
Oh, it's going to be quick. You know, it's going to be game one. It's going to be game one.
And I just look back at last year. The locker room was lost last year. The defense gave up against, you know what I mean? They gave up. They said, forget this.
Yeah.
Our offense can't score 15 points. Why are we out here?
Yeah.
Yeah. I called it. I said, the defense is tired, bro. I said, that defense is going to turn on that offense. And
that Green Bay game, they quit. You seen it. It was evident.
They gave up. Straight up. And I don't blame them for that.
That's if he even starts. If he starts, I said, I'm like DeVore. His leash is going to be short.
Gotta be.
Sure. It gotta be.
Yeah. I agree.
Gotta be. You know, because you can't, like, I saw people saying, well, you can assert him in week 8. I'm like, bro, you ain't not going to last 8 weeks.
Matt Nagy be fired by week 6.
They're going to be like 1-7.
Yeah. He would be fired.
With no hope.
What people don't understand is, people don't remember Andy Dalton's last year in fucking Cincinnati. That's how they ended up with Joe Burrow, stupid motherfuckers.
16 touchdowns and 14 interceptions.
They was damn near on the verge of going 0-16. That's how they got the fucking first, that's how they got the number one overall pick. You know who was the starting quarterback then? Andy Dalton, dicks.
Andy Dalton ain't been good since around 2017.
He ain't been good since A.J. Green been good.
Yeah, that's what I said about 2016, 2017.
And y'all want to sit up here and talk that crazy shit.
Let's be real. That's the only reason he was halfway decent is because of A.J. Green.
And T.J. Uzada.
Be honest with you.
You know, and Tyler Eifert.
Right.
And they also had...
Giovanni Bernard.
What's my man who looked like the light-skinned King Von that came and played wide receiver in Detroit from Cali? What's his name? He was
Marvin
there.
Jones.
Jones.
They had a bunch of good receivers.
Yep.
Y'all want to
remember that Tyler
Boyd? Yeah, Tyler Boyd. And then y'all want to come on Twitter and walk y'all little baby nuts across the block talking about Andy Dalton is this and Andy Dalton is that. Man,
don't act like you
fuck out of here.
Straight up. That's bullshit, bro. Like y'all run up and down Twitter with that crazy shit, and I'll be looking at it.
Get the fuck out of here.
Get out of here with that. Ain't nobody buying that shit. He a bum. He's a fucking backup for a reason. How come when it come to Cam Newton, y'all can scream, oh, he's a backup? When it come to Teddy Bridgewater, he's a backup for a reason. But then get these sorry scrub, stank doo-doo-ass quarterbacks the benefit of the doubt. Why y'all want to get him the benefit of the doubt? I don't get that, man.
You know, if we had a Hall of Fame quarterback that he was behind, like Steve Young was behind Joe Montana.
Right.
Cool. You know what I mean? I'm good with that. Aaron Rodgers behind Brett Favre. I'm cool with that. But behind Andy Dalton?
Bro.
Andy Dalton?
Exactly.
Bro, Andy Dalton started 13 games in 2019. He went 2-11.
Wow. Wow.
He went 4-5 in Dallas last year. So for the last 2 years, this man has won
six games. Six games out of 30?
All you gotta do, too, if you really want to look at it, you look at Dak Prescott and what he was doing with Dallas. He was on record pace last year before he jacked up his ankle, right? Before he tore his ankle up. Record pace. Mm-hmm. And then Andy Dalton came in and they torpedoed out of everything. They torpedoed. They just went down.
He had Amari Cooper. He had Gallup. And couldn't do a damn thing with him.
Nah, he's a backup. He's a backup.
So what gives people the inclination that this motherfucker is going to be any better than what he was is beyond belief to me.
And I think that's what aggravates me about the situation. It's not the fact that, okay, Nagy wants to do this. But come on, man. People got to be smarter than just believing. Don't just believe whatever somebody says. I'm just going to believe it. You know, yeah, he's a veteran. And like I told somebody today, like, don't tell me that he's some veteran stalwart who's got all the tools. That ain't what it is, bro. You know that's not the case. This dude is lacking in a lot of areas on the football field. So, you know, whatever.
He's a backup. That's what he is. He's a backup, you know. You can kind of like, you know, run an NFL offense. It won't be high powered if your quarterback goes down. He can keep you kind of respectable if you can build a team around him. You know, because he went 4-5 in Dallas. I mean, that was mediocre. You know, if you know, they probably could have won the NFC East if, you know, they had a couple more games. But that's who he is. He's gonna get you 500 if he has to come in the game. You know, so if your starter got you, you know, 5-3, he can finish out the season. Maybe you get a wild card berth. Mm-hmm. And hopefully your starter comes back. That's who he is. You know, like, don't make him to what he is. Like, Matt Nagy, he has these anticipatory throws. You got to be on your route because he'll turn around and hit you in the face with the ball. Like, I don't see that shit when he plays.
Hit the goddamn defender in the hands with the ball. That's about it. Sorry, son of a bitch.
You know, like.
Garbage, man.
You know. I want to see him, dude. I'm telling you, I want to see him. But I know Andy Dalton, who he is. He ain't going to last long. Like, that's the one solace that I have, is that I know he won't last long if he does start. And I think Matt Nagy might still be cabin, you know.
He could.
I hope so. We'll see.
And, you know, one of the sticking points is, you know, I posted a lot of clips about Lewis Riddick, you know, an offensive line. And I think he overplayed the offensive line being so trash. He's like, that offensive line is the worst in the NFL. I don't know if that's what Matt Nagy told him to say, to put it out towards the media. But the people... Everyone in the world thinks the Chicago Bears have the worst offensive line in the NFL. You know, like, I think last year they gave up like the 15th most sacks. Mitch Trubisky had like 2.6 seconds to throw. Nick Foles had less. But they gave up.
The Lions' offensive line was worse. Yeah. Minnesota's offensive line was worse.
New England.
Yeah.
New England's was worse.
Yeah.
49ers.
Yeah.
All these teams, they got great old. I'm like, where the hell they got a great old line? You know, you're knocking the Bears because they drafted a guy, you know. And
the Texans' offensive line was worse.
Oh, shit. The Seahawks?
Shit, I think Deshaun Watson was the most sacked quarterback last season.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so the Bears don't have the worst offensive line. You know what I mean? They did try to make upgrades. You know, a guy had injured his back that wasn't picked up. You know, we talked about this in spaces we had after the game. That it was a lower back strain coming out. It wasn't that he had a bulging disc. right? Right. I don't know if it developed into that, but they didn't have a combine this year, so things get missed. So I'm not knocking pace for a guy needing you know, to get his back fixed. There was no indication that this was going to happen. Right. So you can get mad and say, well, they didn't address, they addressed the damn offensive line. They drafted two tackles right after they drafted a quarterback. So let's stop being ignorant. I'm tired of people saying that too. I've slandered Pace on this podcast about not drafting tackles, and he drafted two tackles, two damn good tackles mm-hmm. on top of that, right? So let's not act like he didn't draft anyone. He didn't address the offensive line. You know, you Charles Leno languishers or whatever, lovers, Leno lovers, you know, he drafted people on offensive line. And Jason Peters is better than Charles Leno, even at 38 years old. So, you know.
That's what I say. Yeah. With the offensive line, I look at the offensive line and I say, okay, look, on the left side last year, who we have? Leno and Coward. just those two guys being gone. Even if we didn't replace them, and we just had three offensive linemen at that point, and we played 9 on 11, we'd be in better shape.
Because at least you'll know what to expect.
I'm serious though. Rashad Coward and Leno are gone, and you replace those. You know, you got James Daniels coming back, and you got Jason Peters. That's an upgrade. You got Whitehair coming back. You got Mustafa, who played well last year, put on a lot of weight, and now is much stronger this year. And then you got Ifedi on the other side, possibly Borum, whenever he kind of gets ready. I think the offensive line is much better than we started out last year. And not only that, but I think those guys up front, like those three guys in the middle, and then, you know, if you get Peters will do all right, man. He's like you said last week, Will, he's like Whitworth, man. He's not going to wow anybody, but he's good. He's solid. You know what I'm saying? He's going to mm-hmm. be there. He's going to protect. And you're not going to get bogus shots on your quarterback either right. without paying the penalties.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, man. So, we don't know how long Tevin Jenkins is going to be out, you know.
He ain't coming back this year, I don't think. We can stick a fork in that dream until next season. Because, I mean, and, you know, not just Tevin Jenkins, though, but I mean, I hate to say it, but I think it's time to move on from Tariq Cohen. I hate to say it, but he's not going to be the same. Coming back, this is a second surgery on that ACL, that torn ACL. Not only that, he had a fractured fibula in his leg, fractured fibula, tibula, one of them bulas. But, you know, the second surgery on that torn ACL, which when I seen him before, he looked kind of chunky, man. You know, and he didn't look like he was working his way to come back at all. Dude was carrying around a freshman 20, not 15, 20. You know what I'm saying? He had that extra chin going. Everybody's like, oh, he's hulked up. Well, no, the fuck he not. That's fat. Okay? Like, that ain't him hitting the weights, okay? This is a motherfucker who told you himself he hates working out. All right? He's all God-given ability, man. You know what I'm saying? So, but to see him like that and to see, you know, him chunky, and I'm like, yo, I don't know, but, you know, again, Bears loaded up on running backs, and we saw that. We definitely saw that. And that was key because, you know, now you got Khalil Herbert, and on top of that, you got Williams, you know. So they're definitely beneficial moving forward. And really, I mean, Tariq Cohen, what was we really going to get out of him in the backfield anyway? About 400 rushing yards and probably about 300 yards receiving. We can't find nobody else to do that.
ACLs take a while to come back from. Too,
I get it. You know, I get it. So but see, look at Jacksonville. They wasn't finna handcuff themselves to A-Rob for 2 years until he got back right. A-Rob just got back right last year.
Mm-hmm.
Got back right last year.
He didn't put up a bunch
year.
Of numbers.
Exactly.
Yeah, first year. Yeah, he only had like 45, 50 catches.
Right. You see what
People
I'm saying?
People forget that.
Yeah.
They
so
lost in the,
who the hell is going to wait on Tariq Cohen to come back? Who's going to wait? Because, again, he missed, what, with the Giants game was, what, week three? That he got hurt, right? So, really, you can say he missed.
The Atlanta game.
Oh, yeah. Okay, the Atlanta game.
Yeah, he got knocked into. Who was it, Josh Woods?
That was week. Week three. So, he missed all of last season. He's going to miss all of this season. It ain't going to the offseason. And the way it's looking, man, I hate to, I mean, I'm glad he got paid before the injury happened, because if he didn't, he'd be screwed right now. Mm-hmm. I'm glad he got his money, but I think this is it for him. In all honesty, you know, if he can catch on somewhere else, that's one year you're older, you know, as opposed to Tevin Jenkins. He's a rookie. You know what I'm saying? So they're going to be patient with him. But Tariq Cohen, this is a second surgery on that ACL. Matt Nagy, the liar.
Why the fuck you lying?
Ain't never telling the truth. When they asked him, they said, you know, was there a second surgery? Right, exactly. You know what I'm saying? He like, second Andre surgery. I gotta talk to Andre. He's like, I gotta get a report to show what all these guys have been going through. But he's been working hard. And like, how do you the head coach? Come on, don't play us.
How do you not know that?
Exactly.
He knows that. Tell him you gotta talk to Andre Tucker.
He's lying.
That's why I don't be paying attention to. That's what I tell you. I don't pay attention to nothing Nagy says. When he says stuff, I do not care what he says.
He lies so much.
That's why I don't care. I don't even believe him when he says, "Oh yeah, Andy Dalton's the number one quarterback." I don't believe you, because then you come out your mouth and you almost can't. You almost about to orgasm talking about Justin Fields. Oh man, did you see Justin? He's a special kid, man. But yeah, Andy did a good job, and Nick too. I'm like, Nick ain't even playing the damn game.
Exactly.
He gave Nick Foles props. He ain't even playing the damn preseason game versus the Bills. He's like, oh, yeah, Nick, too. Nick ain't played. Nick was holding prayer recitals on the sideline. You talking about he did a good job.
I'm dicing up the threes.
He diced up the threes that last game, though. I ain't gonna lie.
I'm dicing up the threes.
It made me – hey, I posted that people. I was like, dude, think about it. Nick Foles has played better in the preseason than Andy Dalton.
Right. Jasper Horsted definitely solidified his spot as the third guy on the totem pole, didn't he?
That's what you do, though. You take that job, man.
I don't know if he third, though. I think he might be fourth.
He fourth, because Jesse James ain't even taking
Jesse snap, James ain't giving that up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And the chemistry with Justin Fields is paramount. So the tight end room is solid.
Yeah.
Yeah, tight end room looking good, man.
The running back room looking good. The wide receiver room looking good.
Even though the wide receivers cut Daz Newsome. I know he's going to clear waivers and probably make the practice squad.
Yeah, he's going to be on the practice squad, but I didn't understand that. Why would they keep Colt, whatever the hell his name is?
Coltree. I think he's going to be on the practice squad, too.
Whatever his name is. Why they keep him?
But he's young, though. He's like 22, man.
Did they keep him?
Yeah, I think so. Did they? I don't know.
I thought they cut him.
Then if they cut Daz Newsome, then goddamn, how many receivers they plan on going? Unless it's a receiver that they wanted to get off the waiver wire.
That's my guess. They said they placed him on waivers, Brad Diggs. Okay. But he said he might make the practice squad. So yeah, they cut him. I think they cut Javea Johnson. So right now they looking at
five receivers.
Yeah, but they got to target somebody.
They got to be targeting somebody that they trying to get off waivers.
Or some little small trade. Yeah, they got to be targeting somebody.
Because there's no way you going into the season with five wideouts. All right, three of them is your core guy. Three to four of them is your core guys, and you got and out of three or four of them, out of that four, one of them at least got to play special teams.
Yeah,
and to be honest with you, all five of them ain't played a game yet.
Exactly.
Nah, the top, yeah.
They got to play, man. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
I'm surprised Snowden got cut.
Yeah, he's going to make waivers, though.
Yeah, he's...
Because, like, what people realize, like... Yeah, like, when you cut someone off your 53, if another team picks them up, they got to go to that 53. Right. You know what I mean? So it's not like, you know, unless he just declines to go on the Bears practice squad, which has happened. Like, nah, I ain't going to stay on your practice squad. I'd rather take another opportunity. But most of the time, they cut them, they can go back on the practice squad, because these other teams, bro, they dealing with their own. Just like us. Like, I don't know who the hell these six-round draft picks getting cut on the Patriots. I don't know who the hell they are. You know? Sure. You know, so, you know, and then you're going to add them to your 53? Like, we're going to add somebody else, you know, seventh-round draft pick that got cut to our 53-man roster? Probably
not. Finally got rid of Ryan.
I knew you were going to say that.
About damn time.
Need a standing ovation for that, man. God, bro.
Yeah, I was so happy. I thought he was going to make the team. I was like, I was starting to get worried, you know. I was like, this mug's going to make the team, dude, for special teams. Chris Tabor is going to be like, he needs to make the team. Oh, Riley really got cut. Yeah, we saw that coming, though.
All I can say is, it's about time.
Bro, he got showed up by John Vea Johnson. You know, I know people, man, oh, the Bears don't develop him. I'm like, bro, when you got undrafted free agents like John Vea Johnson and Rodney Adams coming in here and showing you up, and you've been here 3 years, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you got a job and some dude shows up. He ain't even got no time on the job. Just comes and just whipping your ass in every aspect of your job that you're supposed to have a leg up on. You probably not keeping your job.
Mm-hmm. Two guys. Like, Rodney Adams was doing it to him, too.
Yeah, that's what I said. Rodney Adams came in just shining.
Ray Johnson, Rodney Adams, both of them guys is small, you know. Yeah, they was handling their business. They came, they came in ready.
Yeah, and that's what it is. I mean, so you had your opportunity. You didn't take advantage, you know, and here we are. They also cut Thomas Graham.
Yeah.
Who's probably going to get put on waiver. He didn't show me nothing in the preseason. I'm not even going to lie. I was high on him, but he, it is what it is, man. The Bears are lacking at cornerback, and Desmond Trufant got cut. We've been said that.
But see, I think that Malcolm Brown situation, they better keep a close eye on that, because Malcolm Brown is a definite number one corner. And on top of that, I don't think he wants to be in Arizona, not one bit. I think he definitely wants to get his way out of there, but he's saying he's citing it for personal reasons. He didn't show up to practice. And a couple more things, you know what I'm saying? So he's saying
that's Malcolm Butler, right?
Malcolm Butler, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, he didn't show up for personal reasons and whatnot, and you know, I don't think he wants to be in Arizona. So if that is the case, then let's get him on up out of there, man. You know, Bryce Callahan is another one.
I was gonna say Kyle Fuller too. They said they listening to offers on Bryce Callahan. And
see,
Kyle Fuller.
The crazy thing is that, you know, they're gonna end up releasing one of them because of the fact that they went ahead and got Patrick Surtain out of the draft. You know what I'm saying? And with them doing that, hell, at that time, I mean, they, you know, it just kind of sucks. But Kyle Fuller could come back, but at what, $9 million?
I don't know if the Bears even got that type of money. He's out there.
You know?
I think they only got like $6 or $7 million.
Right.
Unless they, you know, I don't know, they cut somebody else.
They can finagle something and bring Kyle Fuller back. Or bring back Callahan. But Callahan is a nickel guy.
Yeah, he can play outside a little bit.
Yeah, but he made his bones with us in the nickel.
Yeah. But his issue, he's always hurt. So if you get him, you know, I mean, we pretty much don't have a choice now. But that's going to be something you got to watch, man. That cornerback position, who's going to shake available? And Denver is deep. You know, I'm pretty sure they might bring in some offensive linemen if they see something they like. But this is a crazy time, and I always tell people this is like a second, third, fourth wave of free agency, man. These waiver wires, dudes getting cut, and people always surprise you they get cut. You know, guys out. You know, I saw that Michael Thomas is on the PUP list for like 5 weeks.
Yeah.
In New Orleans. So, you know, it's all kind of stuff happening, man. Makes it all interesting. But let me see.
That's a lot. It's still a lot of moves that are going to be made in the next couple of days, probably. But, you know, the Bears, at the end of the day, I think what they need to really address right now is that cornerback position. Mm-hmm. You know, they gotta figure that out, because what I was looking for is somebody in the preseason to step forward and say, hey, this is going to be my spot. I'm taking the nickel. I'm taking the number two. And I don't think anybody did that. Vildor, he had a couple of, you know, decent moments, but, you know, and then you got Marquise Christian in there, and I don't know, man. Nobody really took hold of it.
Mr.
You know,
Can't Tackle. My God.
He was getting abused.
Who was that, Christian?
Yeah. Shelly.
Yeah, Shelly, too.
Duke, man. I don't know what was going on with Duke, man.
Burns was good at times, and then he'll miss a tackle. You like, okay, right. Burns, man, what you doing? The only person that, like, it's like Jalen Johnson, and you're like, all right, who else? You know, yeah, you got to do something. you know, that's the weak point, you know, of the offense. You know what I mean?
They got to do something.
So. I mean, so this 53 is shaking out. You know, we got the Rams coming up in a couple weeks. Man, I ain't got much else outside of that. We still trying to see who's going to make the roster. I was going to do a 53, but it don't make any sense now because they're about, I don't know if they're about like at number 60. I don't know how many more cuts they got to do.
Yeah.
You know.
This bring back memories, don't it, fellas?
Oh, yeah.
For those who don't know, this was our intro to our old podcast. Bring back memories, man.
Yeah, I saw somebody brought up an old tweet of his on the timeline about some Sheldon Day.
Yeah.
Mike posted that he was going to be an all-pro or something, and they were claiming.
Who was going to be all-pro?
Sheldon Day. And he got cut today. I was like, that was from like 2017. I'm like, it's going to be wildin', bro. They brought up a tweet from 2017.
Bruh. They ain't got nothing else to do.
Like, look, niggas be wildin'.
I'm like, you ain't got nothing else better to do.
I knew it. They just wanted that aha moment, bro. You know how that
exactly.
goes.
They be looking for him. Keep looking.
So what are we expecting, man? What are we expecting week one? It's a lot, you know, because we play last that Sunday, you know, which I don't understand why they delayed the NFL a week. They should have went ahead and had them play this Sunday.
Well, they always let college football really get that first weekend by themselves.
Yeah.
Even though college football had some games on last week, but
my thing is
they really take off right now.
I don't want to see Alabama versus Miami. I don't. Because it's going to be an ass whooping. I don't want to see that.
You got some good games. I think what you got Clemson and Georgia too, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I don't want to see that. Clemson going to beat the shit out of Georgia. They are. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see
DJ Ugulele. I can't pronounce his last name.
Yeah, DJ Ugulele.
Ugulele.
You know, I mean, that's the next top quarterback to go in the draft, not this year. Everybody think this year is going to be the it year for quarterbacks. This is going to be the year of quarterbacks where, remember my man who came from Oklahoma, Native American, what's his name? Got drafted by the who the hell did he get drafted by? Wasn't it the Vikings?
Which one? Who was that?
Bradford. Sam Bradford.
Oh, yeah, yes.
This is going to be that year of quarterbacks, where Sam Bradford and Jared Goff, cast like that. Them the type quarterbacks that's coming out in this year's draft. Nobody want that shit.
Now, that one cat, I'm pretty sure it's going to be like, they hyping him up. Rattler, yeah.
From the little beige motherfucker, yeah.
Yeah, they you know, they trying to build him up to be the next beige quarterback, you know.
Yeah, the baby shit colored motherfucker, yeah.
Yeah, they trying to get him. Ritter from Cincinnati, but
yeah,
they trying to hype him up. We'll see. I haven't even really paid attention. I got Justin Fields. I don't scout quarterbacks no more.
Yeah.
That's for poverty franchises.
Exactly.
We don't have to do that.
Peasants.
That's for poverty franchises. We're not poverty anymore. We hit the mega millions, damn it.
Yeah, we hit the jackpot. You know, regardless if he starts week one or week three, you know, we good.
Yeah, for real.
We good. Hey, did y'all one last thing, man. I'm about to go pick up my daughter in like 10 minutes. But Jordan Love, man, you know you got to have some Packers slander on you.
Oh, yeah.
You see that pass? He rolled out, almost fell down.
Yeah.
Just threw that bug.
It was bad, man.
the announcer was like, oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, no, baby. What is you doing?
He just threw it up there like, man, look. Get them off my ass here.
He was doing good too. I was watching him. I was like, okay, young boy.
He threw that boy like, man, get them off my ass here.
He just completed like a 30-yard pass. I was like, okay, we might have a little rivalry. Then he did that, and I was like, man, Dude, I swear to God, that reminded me of just Mitch. When he just looks good.
And then he do some dumb shit. Like that Packer game. He had it rolling. Then he just threw like a 60-yard interception. Like
in triple coverage.
Like, damn, dude. I mean, it's three motherfuckers around him. You didn't find nobody.
This Darnell Mooney is 5'10".
Wow. He's just like, fuck it. I'm just going, yeah, God damn it. This is my chance. Let's go. Wing it. And then that motherfucker be looking at it. They be playing all the heroic music and shit. There goes my hero. I watch him as he goes. That shit be like, and then that shit be, motherfucker just pick that shit off and go the other way. He just jumping up and down on his tippy toes like, damn, I almost had him. Be like, dog, that's one of them boys, because he look at the coach be looking at you like, come sit your ass down.
Bro, he did it again, too. They were driving down, but it didn't get picked. And it was one of those balls where you throw it and everybody just kind of look around because they don't know who it was to. Bruh. He was rolling, and he like threw it with the English.
And that like, shit okay. Got picked like a motherfucker.
It just hit the dirt. Like, bro, no one was around it. It just hit the dirt.
Man. Oh, no, that was Danny Dime who tried to do that sidearm shit and got that shit picked. Like, oh.
Trash can, dude.
In the red zone?
Yeah. That shit was ridiculous.
I was like, oh, my God.
Like, son, you keep playing like that, you're going to be playing ass back. What's ass back,
that's
coach?
That's who Danny Dimes is, though. Danny Dimes is a guy who's decent. He can play decent. But he needs you got to be flawless in every other aspect of your game.
I'm telling you. Danny Dimes.
Nah.
In a minute, cuz, he going to be ass back. You going to think you going in? Like, all right, I'm going in, coach. Get your ass back.
That's what ass back, trash can Dan, man. But then that's what they watching. They seeing, like, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, and all these guys, and Trevor Lawrence make it. I can do that. No, you can't.
This is ridiculous, man.
Don't try it.
It's ridiculous. Before we get out of here, man, I'm sure there's going to be a 30 for 30. A true ESPN. I want to see it, too. But over this weekend, there was a game between IMG Academy and this made-up school of Bishop Sycamore that lied and said they had over 15 Division I athletes on their team. And by the second quarter, it was like 46-0. Bro, it was so bad. It was so bad that they were thinking about calling the game. But you knew this team was on bullshit because they face masks didn't even match. Everybody had different color face masks, bro. Some had black, some had red. One motherfucker had green. Another one had blue. And I'm like, yo, where's the school from? And it is Bishop Sycamore in Ohio. Come to find out, it wasn't a real school. It was an online-only school. And he just put together some motherfuckers to play on ESPN. Just got some motherfuckers off the street. And they were grown.
And they got blown up by high school kids.
People talking about him. Yeah, they was
grown-ass people, bro. You know they found the cats that be on Bears Twitter that swear to God they know everything about the sport and was like, you want to suit up? Hell yeah, I'm ready, cuz. And then they got out there and got their ass handed to them by a bunch of real D1 talent. They found Bears Twitter and put their ass in. You know what? They should really do that for like a lot of fan bases, right? But for them cats who really be popping shit, like they. And be saying the dumbest shit. Like, all right, bro, come on, put the pads on. Just put them on. It's a couple cats that I want to put the pads on against one time. Give me the ball, and you stand 10 yards away, and you run at me full speed, and I will run you the fuck over. I'll give you a concussion.
I be saying
intentionally.
That.
Intentionally.
I'm about 40, and I'd be like, bro, y'all motherfuckers are not athletic, bro.
Break
like,
your collarbone. I'll break your collarbone. All kind of shit.
All kind of junk.
Yeah, you know I'm what? Like, you. I even be fair. I'll let you get the ball and tell you to run towards me just so I can fuck you up one good time. Fold your ass and then stand over you. You know, like how the tall boy got fucked up on the water boy in Michigan? Yeah. when they threw him out there and that motherfucker went across the middle and they flipped his ass and he laid out the shit. And my man standing over him, pointing down at him like, motherfucker, don't you ever. I swear, bro, just one time. Put the pads on one time. One time.
The crazy thing about that game, right? Like, I seen a clip where it was in the second quarter. A dude, they was already down, like, I don't know, 30-0 or something. The dude got injured, number 54. And they was like, we don't know who this is. The announcers.
Bro, it was fucked up because they didn't even know the dude's name. Bro, they had no people on their rosters.
Bro, the coach has a arrest for fraud.
Yes. Do you know that these motherfuckers played a game? They played Sunday, bro. They had a game that Friday night. What the fuck? Like, wait a minute. No one investigated this?
And that's ESPN. That's on ESPN, too.
Bro, man. I was watching, like, who was
way better than
I just
that.
Saw it on TV. I was like, who the fuck got the uniforms? I was like, who are these
bro,
dudes?
They had to, but hey, the crazy who, thing is, they came out with the longest yard uniforms on, bro. They came out with the mean machine boys.
How does that happen, man? How does that happen?
Oh, just all black.
And the funny thing is, like, it said, I was looking at Twitter earlier, and somewhere, you know, Dallas, what was it, Duncanville, I think it is?
Yeah.
Or DeSoto, one of them two, high school in Dallas, is supposed to be scheduled to play them next week. And somebody was like, again? How does it happen twice? I like,
bro.
Dude, that was the wildest thing ever. I was reading that stuff. I was like, I couldn't believe it. I thought it was shady. I looked at it. I was like, what the heck is this? I didn't even watch the game, but I just saw it on ESPN. It was like, I ain't watching this. This is stupid. Yeah, man.
It's nuts.
It's nuts, man. I ain't got a dumb tweet of the week, man. It's been so much dumb shit tweeted.
That takes the cake. Bishop Sycamore takes the cake.
I couldn't believe it. Dude, go to, if you guys don't know what it is, type it in Twitter and just go through it. Read the article. Dude, it's hilarious.
USA Today has an article on the Bishop Sycamore situation. These were grown ass men out there getting their ass handed to them by high school kids.
Bro, I'm going past high school. You know, football is back, right? And I saw the high school kids, and I thought about it. I looked at those high school kids, and even them, bro, I'm like 40s up. And I looked at those high school kids, like, I would whoop their ass.
Yeah, they kids.
Because you kids, you ain't got no grown. Like, imagine, I'm playing wide receiver. Like, ain't no DB pressing me.
I can literally
take you and chuck you.
I can see if they were a bunch of grown men out there beating the hell out of them. But right, they was getting they felt bad for the grown men. The kids was whooping on the grown men so bad.
Bro.
They said, at this point in time, you got to start worrying about the kids' safety. Shit. They was getting fucked up, man.
Like, that's crazy, dude.
They was legit out there getting fucked up. Like, damn.
I couldn't believe it when I saw it.
When I was like, these dudes are 23? They got wife and kids.
Yeah, full-grown families and shit.
Full-grown beard.
They put a semi-pro team together to go play some high school, bro.
They got wrecked.
And got slaughtered.
That's hilarious. I think I'm going to go back and watch that game.
That's funny as shit.
That's crazy.
Man, I gotta go pick up my baby girl, man. That's all I got. Shout out to everybody that was in spaces, man, that rocked with us after the game.
For sure, man. That was fun, man. We've been doing that. We're gonna keep doing it too, man. That junk is pretty good.
Y'all guys had me rolling, dude. I've been
dying. Yeah, they had me laughing too. Devore, you gotta come in. You missed it last week, didn't you?
Yeah, I had to. I was at work.
I missed it the week before.
Yeah. That junk is hilarious, man.
Yeah, that junk was hilarious, man.
What? Oh boy! Oh, that's what I wanted to say. What about the dude that was? He was drunk.
Oh,
you know he was drunk.
And everybody was, you know, off his lie. You know,
bro. I couldn't take the mic, but it was so funny, bro. I just left his mic on. I'm like, nah,
he wouldn't be talking about nothing we were talking about. We'd be like, oh, you know, Nagy needs to call better plays. You'd be like, oh, you know, first of all, you know, nobody goes.
All off subject.
He's talking about Eddie Goldman.
Oh, man.
I was dying. Oh, bro. That junk was funny.
Yeah, that junk was hilarious, man. They had me dying, dude. That ain't gonna lie. Hey, man, that's all I got, man. Thank y'all for rocking with us.
Y'all make sure y'all hit us up on Twitter, man. @3Kings_Midway Hit me up at Dan Goodwin the Third. If you come at me sideways, I'm gonna body you. From now on, I'm tired of it. I'm done.
It gets like that, bro.
Hey. Yeah, thank y'all for coming out. Hey, at 79 at Ill Will. Y'all already know what mine is. I ain't repeating that shit.
So exactly. You know I will body you. So
likewise. Yeah,
we know how we'll get down.
I will body you. I get too many people in my mentions. I can't take it.
He gonna run you over with the bus. He gonna throw you over there, run you over, and then back up over you.
Be sensible. If you logical and sensible and respectful, I'm cool.
For sure. You
know? Yeah, straight up.
Thank you.
Thank y'all for rocking with us.
Thank y'all for coming out. God bless you. Good night.
Peace.